So there is a specific precept. They're called the precepts. There's a specific precept in Buddhism around sexuality. And I'll give it to you in Pali and then in English. The negative precept in Pali is Kamesu Michachara Verimini Sikapadang Samadhyami. I undertake the training principle of abstaining from sexual misconduct. And the positive precept, in Buddhism there's always a negative precept and a positive precept, what you're trying to move away from, what you're trying to move towards. The positive precept is, with stillness, simplicity and contentment, I purify my body. So I undertake the training principle of abstaining, moving away from sexual misconduct, and I'm moving towards stillness, simplicity and contentment. So, sexual misconduct, again, we could have a whole evening on that. Sexual misconduct is basically any kind of sexual activity that causes harm to yourself or another being. That causes harm.
So it goes back to the first precept.
It goes back to the first precept, so not causing harm. Now, of course, you could have all sorts of interesting conversations about what constitutes harm, particularly in the sexual realm. But I think people know what harm is in their experience. So again, it's trying to bring you back to experience rather than to an abstract concept. And we cultivate qualities of being that still us and generally leave us hungering less. They leave us craving less. Again, they slow you down. To purify your body in Buddhism is to purify your mind. Your body isn't polluted. It's not dirty. It's not sinful. It's not evil. That's all nonsense from a Buddhist perspective. But your attachment to your body, negatively or positively, whatever that is, and the effect that it has on you and the way you see things is what the Buddha's concerned about. So if you see yourself as a permanent being who's going to live forever, the Buddha's got some news for you. If you identify your sense of self very strongly with your body and with identity, sexual identity, so it's like, I'm the centre of things, I'm a straight man, I'm a gay woman, I'm the marrying type, I'm a swinger, I'm a bachelor, I'm a widow. I'm defined by and through my body and by and through my experience of sexuality. Sometimes you'll have moments in life, if you're like me, where that can feel like a liberation and you feel free as an adult to explore all that and work it all out. And sometimes it can feel like a terrible binding thing, particularly when things go wrong. There can be a sense of habitual restraint. There can be a sense of being limited. There can just be a sense of suffering. Again, it's not a concept. You don't need me to sit in a room, for goodness sake, and tell you that there can be an experience of suffering around sexual desire and sexual relationships. I'm pretty sure if you have a conversation with yourself for 5 minutes, you'll see that that is sometimes the case. So, in a way, whether you're in joy with it or whether you're in sorrow with it, our sexual identity and behaviour can really reinforce an inaccurate view of the world. That I'm the centre of things and I get what I want. That I like certain things and certain people and I move towards them and I get what I want. And again, that's just a problem because it's inaccurate. As I was saying in my talk last week, if you look at history, particularly around theistic traditions, inaccurate views of reality at some point lead people to behave badly. If you see the universe in a way that's not accurate, at some point you behave badly. At some point, whole cultures behave badly. And you can very much see this with the history of religion in the West and in the East, indeed.